This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff & Sons Funeral Home in Hillsboro. By CTI Tech. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize. And Tim, we are the greatest radio station in the world. Nobody does it like we do. Nobody can beat us.
Is there a little sarcasm? A
little bit.
There, David?
A little bit.
A little sarcasm? Perhaps we'll get into that a little bit later. But Cardinals opening day was yesterday, and they like to tell you just how great it is.
Yes.
And it is great.
It is great.
But when something's truly great, you don't need to tell me how great
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. And I am a Cardinal fan. I love the Cardinals. I hate when they talk about how, well, like we'll get into it later.
Yeah, so. but just let the greatness speak for itself.
That's right.
Yeah. What has not been great has been the weather. This has been an absolutely brutal spring. And, you know, the old-timey sayings, they tend to be pretty accurate. And late Easter means late spring, so said the old-timers. And with Easter falling on the 21st this year, that's as late on the calendar as it can actually happen, and it has been a mess of a spring. I feel for the athletic directors, the baseball coaches, the softball coaches, the soccer coaches. I mean, it's just nasty trying to get ball games in right now. Bobby Allen, the Hillsboro baseball coach, I saw he sent out a tweet yesterday. They've played 5 games in 4 weeks, and this weekend they got number 9, number 10, and number 11 rained out on the year. I mean, just brutal. And you feel bad for the kids because you want to get out and play some ball.
Yeah.
Enjoy some nice weather, play some baseball, play some softball, and the weather has just not allowed it. And we have another cancellation in. The Lincoln Wood at Carlinville softball game for today has been postponed.
It's hard to establish any kind of rhythm, too, in a game like baseball where you really got to be playing every day. And when you're playing 5 games in 4 weeks, that's football stuff right there.
That is football stuff. And you even go back to before the game started. A lot of these teams weren't even able to get outside and practice before the season started. So, I mean, there's just been very, very little diamond time for these teams in the spring. And hopefully next Saturday will be good because we've got the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament, and that will be our kickoff to our broadcast schedule for baseball and softball, as we will bring you all 4 games of the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament next Saturday. It'll be the Hillsboro Sports Complex. They've got 2 diamonds, so they're going to play both semifinals at the same time and then have the third place in the championship game going on at the same time. But, David, do not worry. We've got multiple stations here as part of the Tally Broadcasting Group, and we will bring all the games live on WQSMI FM 106, also on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. So all 4 games will be live. Hillsboro will play Litchfield. Nokomis will play Morrisonville. Those will be the first 2 ball games. I believe they will start at 10 o'clock. Both will be live on WQSMI. And then the third place game and championship games will follow a little after noontime. And again, all live on FM 106, AM 1540, 106.9, and streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. And Mother Nature must have been confused. I think there's actually no rain in the forecast for next Saturday. So they must have thought this tournament was supposed to be played every other Saturday except next week.
Yeah. It's still early, though. We got a week left. And
there's more rain in the forecast for tomorrow. There's more rain in the forecast for the middle of next week. And it, you know, for the sports, it's been no good. For the farming, trying to get crops in, it's no good. It's no good for anybody. After a long winter like we had, no matter what you do for a living or what you do for fun, this is no good. This is no good. Everybody wants to be able to get out and enjoy some nice springtime weather. It just hasn't happened yet.
Not to say athletic directors don't do work, because they do.
Oh, goodness.
But this is the season where you really do your job.
They earn their money and their keep during the spring. Yeah, you know, because in the wintertime, you know, you get the big snowstorm. Okay, roads are bad, can't go.
Yeah.
But in the spring, there's actual decisions to be made. Is the field playable? Is it close to playable? Is it actually going to rain around the start time of the game? And it's just all sorts of different variables that have to go into it. I know yesterday at Carlinville, they played their soccer game at the intermediate school, something they had never done before. And you see a lot of venue changes. I know playing softball is going to Griffin today because they got turf. And that's where you see the big difference. The bigger schools, whether they have turf or not, you know, maybe have a tarp, better drainage for their fields. So you're seeing, I think, some of the bigger schools getting to play a few more games. But for our area with the schools that we cover, it is just a tough go here this spring to try to get anything done.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. So hopefully we're able to cover baseball this season.
We're going to try. The Plains Classic is going on today. This is a great event, and Pleasant Plains has a wonderful facility. I remember being over there, well, I don't know how many years ago it was, been more than I want to probably remember now, but Southwestern was playing Pleasant Plains in a sectional, and it rained all day. Game got pushed back. They pushed it back into late afternoon, and I thought, oh, there's no way they're going to play this game. But they had squeegees out there. I mean, it looked like a professional operation, and they had good drainage, and they got that field ready for play, and they were able to play, I think, in a light rain pretty much all day. That's for a sectional tournament, though. When you get into regular season types of games, you don't necessarily want to have to go through that entire process to play a regular season game. So Plains had to cancel their two games yesterday as the part of the Plains Classic. They will go today. They are underway right now. Nokomis is facing Beardstown up in Pleasant Plains, and then Plains will play Beardstown at 11. Nokomis back in action at 1 o'clock this afternoon against Chicago Holy Trinity, and then Plains will play Holy Trinity at 3 o'clock. So that's all part of the Plains Classic today at Pleasant Plains. The big softball event for the day is the Porta Spring Slam. That is up in Springfield at Land of Lincoln and UIS Fields. Nokomis playing three games today. They're underway right now against Porta. They'll be back in action at high noon against West Central, and then they will play Quincy Notre Dame at 1:30. They've got three fields in play up there. So Williamsville and Stanford Olympia and New Berlin and Knoxville also in action right now. Then coming up at 10:30, the Bullets take on QND. Rochester faces Porta. Clinton against Knoxville. Then at noon, Rochester Olympia, New Berlin, and Brown County. At 1:30, Porta will face Olympia. Griggsville Perry takes on Knoxville. At 3 o'clock, New Berlin against Griggsville Perry. Clinton faces Brown County with West Central against QND. And then two games scheduled at 4:30, Rochester, Brown County, Clinton, and West Central. The Beardstown tournament also going on today, and they've had all sorts of weather issues. They've had to really jockey their schedule around. So in Beardstown right now, as we speak, Carrollton's playing Illini West, Camp Point Central taking on West Hancock. Coming up at 10:30, Calhoun will face Beardstown. West Hancock will take on Illini West. Then at noon, Auburn against Springfield High. Carrollton will square off against Camp Point Central. And David, think about all the work that goes in to putting on a big event like this Porta Slam. And then the weather just gets all in the gears of the operation. It just messes the entire thing up. You know, the schedule itself didn't really get altered for the Porta Slam, but you know there was all sorts of anxious moments when you're watching that radar screen like, oh, what are we going to do? And Beardstown ran into that problem. The Plains Baseball Classic ran into that problem.
It's really disheartening when you've spent all that time organizing an event and then in the blink of an eye, it's
over,
flushed out.
And, you know, we talk about it all the time in the spring. You can't control the weather. Some years you get in a bunch of games. There's been times where you get rainouts early, and then it dries out, and you're able to get, you know, basically all the games in. But when that happens, all of a sudden you're playing a bunch of games late in baseball specifically. Then your pitching gets worn out by the time you get to the postseason tournament. And at some point this is going to turn. It will stop raining at some point in time.
Like
it will.
There's a week or two left in the season.
Well, it might be then, but eventually it will dry out. But, man, just right now it's just been a total mess of an operation trying to get these ball games in any type of timely manner. And, you know, like for Hillsborough, they rescheduled a couple of games, found some opponents, said, hey, we'll get some ball games in.
Nope.
Canceled.
Yep.
11 rainouts on the year. That's staggering.
It's not really funny, but it always does kind of make me chuckle whenever it comes around time to the postseason and we're doing a game and we look at Team A, and they've played like 20, 22 games this year, and Team B, their opponent, has played all of like 7 or 8.
And right, and there's going to be, I would imagine, quite a bit of that when we get, you know, with the sub-sectionals, when we get in that this year. Because the weather, you know, south or north, east, west, hasn't been like it has been here.
Why'd you play 35 games?
How'd that happen? You got a dome?
Yeah, no kidding.
So hopefully next week, the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament will go off without
last
it.
Year was,
that's always fun.
Last year was the first year in like 6 or 7 years that it had been rained out. See, we'd gone a really long time without a rainout until last year, so.
We were due. It's usually a 50-50 proposition.
Yeah.
We could be in the middle of a drought, which doesn't happen this time of year, but it could be drought conditions. And, oh, Montgomery County Baseball Tournament? Here comes an inch of rain.
Open up the skies.
That's right. Hey, we need to get to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Carlinville head baseball coach Don Borgini. The Cavaliers off to a fabulous start here in the early part of the year. They are 9-1 on the season. Good wins over Staunton and North Mac here in the last week or so. So we will talk with Don Borgini when Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, first Saturday in April. Cardinal baseball coming up this afternoon, 12:20 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9, as the Redbirds will be back in action against the San Diego Padres after dropping the home opener yesterday. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the home opener does not usually translate, it doesn't seem like, into a win. And it's understandable, all the pomp and circumstance that goes with it, but getting that win on opening day seems like it's been a bit of a chore for the Redbirds here over the last number of years. They've been in every game they've played so far, and they're the only team to beat the Brewers so far, who are off to a phenomenal start here in 2019. So 12:20 this afternoon, AM 1540 and FM 106. And, of course, every single game on 106.9, all the day games on AM 1540 as well. Mentioned before, the Lincolnwood-Carlinville softball game, that has been postponed for today. So they will not be playing softball in Carlinville. It was a scheduled off day for the Carlinville baseball team, and that worked out well. We're able to get Don Borgini on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Coach.
How are you, Tim? Good morning.
Hey, doing very well. And we were talking at the start of the show just about how brutal this weather has been to start the year. And you were supposed to play yesterday. Didn't happen. From a coaching perspective, how do you deal with Mother Nature when it's like this?
Well, it's tough, but we've been able to dodge the raindrops a little bit. We've been able to get 10 games, and we've only lost three. We lost the Carrollton game. We lost the Greenfield game on a Saturday, two Saturdays ago. And then, of course, we lost the Gillespie game yesterday. So we've been kind of lucky going back and forth. But, you know, practicing inside kind of gets old after a while. But it hasn't been quite as bad as I've seen it in the past. I remember one year when I was coaching up at Verdon, we literally had 6 games in by the time the regional came around, and I believe that was the minimum that the IHSA allowed before the postseason. We had got 6 in. Some teams had 4, and they had to play doubleheaders like before it started. It was quite the spring. I can't remember. Somewhere back in the 80s that happened.
Oh, my goodness. And you think they might make an exception on the minimum game rule when the weather comes into play, but I guess not.
Yeah, I don't think so, because like I heard you guys talking earlier, that it's different in all parts of the state as far as the weather and field turf and things like that. So,
Coach, you mentioned off to a very good start. You've gotten a good number of games in, and you've got a talented club this year. You've got a number of kids who are going to go be playing college ball. And expectations at Carlinville are nothing new, especially when it comes to football. And a lot of these kids have transitioned from football into baseball. Just kind of talk about the group that you have and the talent that they possess.
Well, that's right. I was just talking to Coach Easterday, and, of course, we reap the benefits of what, you know, Chad put these guys together and developed such a good winning attitude with them. And, you know, I try to just stay out of the way, really wind them up and let them play, and don't try to overcoach and ruin them. So, you know, these boys play all the sports, and they're leaders in the school and the community, and they're just a fantastic group of kids. And and nonetheless a fine example for our freshmen and our sophomores as to the work ethic and how they act and behave themselves and perform on the field. So they're really a special group of kids.
And this group of seniors, they have seen success across the board. And, of course, when you get to the spring session of your senior year, this is it. So what has been the mentality of this group of seniors? I would imagine they want to be playing baseball into June.
Yeah, they do. They always have championship goals in their mind, that group of kids. And so does the junior group behind them because they've been with them. And we've had some nice contributions from some freshmen and sophomores on our, in our program, too. So you're right when I say that they have high expectations. And, you know, I hope that they continue that way, and I hope that they continue playing well. And we have some really tough ball games ahead of us coming up here as we start conference play because South Central Conference – is always a good baseball conference, and you got to be on your toes every game.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a deep league, a lot of talented teams, and you guys beat Staunton earlier in the year, and you beat them easily. Not the win probably didn't surprise you, but perhaps the margin did.
Well, you know how games are; they can go lopsided in a hurry sometimes if things aren't right. And I know Coach McBrain said he had some kids that were injured, and you know all those things are factors when you don't have all your boys out there. So I'm sure that once we start the conference schedule that all his kids will be back, and I hope they are because he's got some really good talent. It only makes our conference better when all the kids are healthy and all the kids are playing. So I wish all those guys good luck, and you know we've had our share of guys dinged up too. We've had, you know, really two starting pitchers with really good velocity that we haven't seen on the mound yet. Of course, Kyle Dixon and Sam Thiemann, both those guys. So we're due to get them back here in probably the next 7-8 days for some actual innings in a game. So I think Kyle slated right now to throw around 35 to 40 pitches next Friday against Southwestern. So he'll be in there somewhere. I don't know exactly where in that game, but he is scheduled as far as his rehabilitation on that, and if you're unclear as to what happened to him, I'd be glad to explain. I don't know if you have time.
Please do.
Well, in our final playoff game over at Monticello, he had a real tiny tear in his labrum, in his shoulder, in his throwing shoulder. And, you know, typical kids, I think, you know, you feel like, hey, I got dinged up in football a little bit, and here goes November and December, and picks up a baseball in January and starts feeling some pain. So I think, you know, was doing some rehabilitation and finally went and got an MRI. And, you know, I think SIU is involved in it too, since that's where he's going. And they have him set up with a really good guy on that did his orthopedic stuff, that did the MRI and said he did not need any surgery because the labrum tear was real small. So he's been on a throwing rehab and that for several weeks. He's only been able to play in the outfield. So, like I said, he's slated on this rehabilitation program to come back for 35 to 40 pitches actually in a game. So he's been doing a lot of bullpens, competitive bullpens, things like that. Is feeling pretty well. And Sam had some problem in his elbow last summer and actually had some injections in the elbow. So he's coming around and he's been able to play right field. So it's going to be nice to have those two guys back in there. But I'll tell you, our current kids that have held things together on that mound have been second to none. I'll tell you, but Jake Ambule and Colton DeLong and Chris Griffith and Tyler Reels and Tucker Hughes has done a fantastic job for us in pitching ball games. And we kind of, with the pitch count rule, you can maybe send the guy out there for 45 or 50 and then send the next guy. It's kind of like big league baseball.
Yeah.
Get you four innings and get to the next guy.
So, you're right, get to that pin.
In that regard, those are really the only decisions I make, Tim. I just stand there, you know. Like I said, let the kids play and stay out of their way. So
they're
doing a wonderful job.
Dan, that's such a big part of coaching is knowing how much to coach. Some people think, well, I'm the coach and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But the ability to say, hey, I got talented kids. We're going to roll the ball out. Go get it done.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing I learned a long time ago as a coach is that you coach in practice and then you let those kids play in the game. And they work through those decisions in the game. And if it's not right, then you clean it up in practice. And that's kind of been the philosophy I've taken in football and baseball, and it works pretty good, you know, because it's hard to talk to kids during games. They're concentrating so hard, and just I think the game should be more for encouragement from the coaching standpoint than anything else.
You know, you mentioned the Dixon injury. Just when you thought the Monticello game that day couldn't get any worse, you find out that he hurt his pitching shoulder, of all things. And, I mean, that was a day that it was just everything that could go wrong went wrong on that day. And it's really a shame that Kyle wound up dinging his shoulder in that game. And you mentioned that SIU was involved in the rehab process. And, Don, I know you've always put the health of your kids first and foremost. You're not going to put a kid out there if his health is spotty just so you can get a couple of varsity wins under your belt. So just kind of talk about the rehab process, not necessarily just for Kyle Dixon because he's going to be a D1 athlete, but just for kids in general to make sure that whenever they're done playing sports, that their quality of life is good.
Well, yeah, I think that's, you know, we cannot ever lose sight of the fact that high school sports and middle school sports are for fun and learning at the same time. They're part of your education, and there are very few kids who enter that thinking that they're going to go on to the next level, and those kids are going to approach it a little bit differently than the other 95%, say, that are just out there for fun and to educate themselves socially, physically, however they want to do it. And so just what you said there, as far as the injury standpoint goes, I mean, you know, you want to work with kids on, hey, I think you can fight through this, or, hey, I think you need to take a rest here, or what do your parents think, or what does the doctor think? I think all those things come into play. And we're very fortunate today that we do have these trainers that come around to the school and evaluate these kids, because, you know, I think when my career started, there was nothing like that. You were on your own, and, of course, we aren't trained to do those types of things. So I'm really glad that professional people are involved in sports today the way they are, especially in the small schools, to help kids out from that standpoint. And there's so many rehabilitation programs out there for all the specific injuries for the kids. We couldn't ask for more, I don't think, than what's out there these days, because these trainers and that come around and help these kids, they really ease the parents' mind, they ease the coach's mind, and they're put in back into play systematically the way they should be. So you know, from Kyle, I just one more second on Kyle. I know you're probably ready to get rid of me, but in the week of the Litchfield football game, I coached the defensive backs, and he was in my drill, and we were just doing some, you know, just some little light footwork drill, and somebody came by, and he got his pinky finger, I remember, of his throwing hand caught in the mesh practice jersey of another kid. And it jerked his shoulder back. Oh. And he immediately went down. Well, I noticed it, and I went up to him. I said, man, are you all right? Oh, man, that really hurt, Coach. So, you know, he wouldn't sit out anything. I mean, right. He'd have to have his arm cut off for him to sit out. Well, he kind of sat out for a couple of plays, and I was really nervous about it back then. Well, then he came back the next day, said he felt pretty good, and, of course, went through the rest of the season. And I was just wondering, if we didn't start something there, then really it was week the whole season, and then kind of finished it off against Monticello. So, you know, you never really know without an MRI, and I was so thankful that he got it. In fact, I think on the first MRI they may have missed it. It was such a tiny tear that, like I said, it didn't require any surgery. But he'll be back, and as people at SIU said, it's a very common shoulder situation for a pitcher, and they've dealt through many of them, so that it really didn't seem to bother them much at all. They just told him what to do and go back through it and set him up with the rehab guy, and here we are, and now he's recovered and doing very well.
Yeah, very good. And of course, I don't want to date you here, but you come from the era where just rub some dirt on it. Get back out there.
We did. You know, we were talking about the other day, it was kind of fun, I thought. You know, when I first started teaching in 82, I can remember our athletic director, Wayne Joplin. His office was right off the gym. I'd be teaching PE, and old Wayne, he'd walk in and stand in the doorway smoking a cigar and eat the breeze. And, you know, coaches, they were all smoking all over the building. I'm thinking, how things have changed. You know, people were chewing tobacco all the time. And, I mean, I'm not advocating that's good at all, but I was just advocating how things have changed. And for the better, I might add, to get rid of tobacco out of your life. But how crazy that is, like you said, to rub the dirt on a philosophy.
Yeah. How could that not have made me better? I rubbed the dirt on it, Coach, but it still hurts.
I know.
And, you know, I know. That's one thing that has never changed, though, the difference between being hurt and being injured. If you're hurt, maybe you can push through it. If you're injured, you have to shut it down.
Well, you know, I will say this about today's athletes. A lot of people will say, well, these kids aren't tough. I think they're so much tougher today, and I'll tell you why, because we work them 365 days of the year, Tim. They're in the weight room. They're pushing themselves to really difficult workouts. We expect so much more from these boys and girls today than we ever did when I first started coaching. So I don't really want to hear from anybody that these kids aren't tough, because they are. They're tougher. They're bigger. They're stronger. They're faster, more talented. So, you know, we're very fortunate to be able to work with the athletes with the knowledge and tools that we have out there today.
And I was amazed on the football side of things this year. You know, it was a lot of the same kids back from the year before, and they were noticeably bigger, stronger, and faster this year than they were last year. And they were big, strong, and fast last year.
I'll tell you, we have a strength coach at Carnumville who volunteers his time. His name is Ryan Tosh. And he has a program those kids are on. It's the most modern thing out there for strength and speed. And these kids have bought into that, and we're really lucky to have Ryan and the fitness center that we have at CHS, because these kids are making maximum use out of that, and it's really showing out there.
I know you're such a coach at heart. I mean, it's what you do, and it had to be fun for you to get back involved with the football program, working with Chad. I know you guys have all that coffee. You keep McDonald's in business, I think, with all the coffee you drink during the football season. But that has to be so much fun for you.
It is, and to see Chad where he has brought that program to, really one of the best programs in the state of Illinois. He just does such a fantastic job of organizing the kids, staying positive, and giving them something that they want. And, you know, you can look around, and there's not a lot of programs that you can see sometimes that give the kids what they want. He pushes them. He makes it hard on them. He makes them holds them accountable. And he lets his coaches help him, and it's just an awesome program, and I'm really excited to be a very small part of it and to still have coffee with my buddies.
And how different is it? I mean, I know, you know, football is, I mean, it's super intense. The nature of the sport is intense. And then you get into baseball in the spring, you know, the school year is nearing an end, kind of people have their eye on summer. So the whole mentality of a spring sport, I mean, it couldn't be any different than the mentality of that football in the fall.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just talking about this the other day, too. And I've kind of learned this over the years that, like, I look at my roster and I see all my athletes and how many sports and activities they've all been involved in. And, you know, they get tired. And just like I said, we have them in the weight room. We have them at 6 a.m. workouts, after school, chalk talks. We take a lot of their time. So on a day like today, like my kids, I make sure to give them the weekend off. And I think that Saturday and Sunday off, a lot of time is what they need, not only physically but mentally, just to get away from some of that stuff. And I'll tell you, that has been a recipe that works. And they come back the next week, and they're very fresh. So, you know, we used to have doubleheaders and things like that, I think, on the schedule years ago before I got here. But we've kind of eliminated all those for that reason and the pitch count reason, because I'll tell you what, if you roll a doubleheader on Saturday every Saturday and you have a conference schedule, I'm not sure where all these pitchers are coming
right
from. They have to fall out of the sky. So we've kind of adjusted our schedule. We have a 27-game schedule, and as opposed to the 35 that you can have. And I think that fits us nicely. It may not be enough for others, but it fits us nicely.
Well, that kind of takes me to where my next question was going to go. When you came back to the Carnumville baseball program and took it over, was that one of the main things that you wanted to change? I'm sure there were things that you wanted that you saw from afar. It's like, boy, I'd like to see that shifted a little bit. Was that one of the main things?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I wanted, number one, I wanted to improve the skill level of the players, like we do every year. That's the top priority. Improve the skill level all the time of what you have. And the second thing was, I wanted to try to make improvements to the facility. And we're working on that. And, you know, the third thing was just to kind of get that schedule in line as to where it is. And I'm going to tell you what, Darren Deneve does an awesome job. We're lucky to have him. He is so easy to talk to and work with. And, you know, I've heard some horror stories of other coaches that don't have that flexibility with their athletic director, and we're very fortunate to have Darren. He does a nice job.
He really does, and I'm sure he's pulling his hair out with this spring, though. This is not fun for an AD.
I think he's probably had more trouble with soccer just because we've had some difficult field conditions here. You know, some seating didn't work out at Loveless Park for him, I think, and you know, there's nothing you can do about that stuff. I mean, you just have to deal with it, and he is working very hard at trying to get those kids in fields to play where they can have fun. And I know he's doing the same thing, like our JV boys have only gotten to play two games. And, you know, I called Ken Leonard up in Sacred Heart Griffin about 2 weeks ago to see if we could get our kids up there. Well, of course, Ken, being the great guy he is, he was accommodating, said, sure, come on up Friday night. So we got a JV game in up there on Friday night on their field turf. But, you know, Darren, like I said, back to him, he's flexible enough that he lets you do some of those things and help him out. So that's what I like about him the most. And he works very hard to help the kids get scheduled and do the right things.
Talking with Don Borgini, the great Cromerville baseball and assistant football coach. And you mentioned the seating and then the field turf, and it just made me think about there's, I guess, an effort afoot here to maybe get turf put on the Cromerville football field. Don, just kind of talk, and maybe you don't want to talk about that at all, but just kind of that process, do you know much about it? What's the outlook for it? I mean, that would be a major change.
Well, I know a lot about it, Tim, as I'm the chairman of the committee trying to put it together.
So, I guess you know a little bit then.
I do know a lot about it, and we, you know, I don't know, again, how much time you have, but I would love to talk about it because I think it's very important for what we're doing here. And, you know, it's for all kids is what what we're trying to put this together for. Like, for example, I can just visualize our physical education classes coming out there every hour. Like right now, they have no place to even do anything outside. So when the football season ended, we visited Taylorville because they just installed it. So we basically took all of Taylorville's marketing plan and put it all together and created our own here. So we created a committee and put it together. And the first thing we did was we went out and got our volunteers lined out. The project is about $850,000, Tim. And for in-kind services, we have cut that in half. Okay, so we're basically down to $450,000. So now we have gone out and we have began visiting the corporate world and have had quite a bit of success there. So as I sit here right now, we're looking at, we feel we need about $300,000 to $350,000, and we have a year to get that. The school board has allowed us to have the yes-no date of March 1st of 2020. So our committee is out visiting with many people in the corporate world, as I told you earlier, that we've kind of taken the Taylorville marketing plan and put it together. So all this stuff is out there online. We do have a website. It's under All Cavies on Turf. It's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Tim Rodas from Cross Church is on our committee, and they have done a wonderful job with putting things out online for us and all of our marketing tools, printing and things like that. But we've had a lot of interest from the corporations in our community, and I think we're on the right track. And I'm not going to say we have 100% shot at doing this, but we have a good chance. It continues to increase every day, and I think a lot of people in our community and surrounding areas are beginning to believe that, yes, indeed, this would be a good thing here. I mean, I even think about what really was the last straw for me was during the playoffs last year. Like I said, I'm nothing but an old retired citizen, but when our band couldn't even practice on our football field due to its poor condition, as there, I said, you know, we have 100 kids in our band. And
it's a great band.
It's a phenomenal band, and Mr. Pirock has just done such an awesome job, and I know he wants to do so much more. And like the day we went up to visit Taylorville, here it is, the first week of December, Tim, and the superintendent is walking us around. There's two PE classes out there, one at each end. And then he looked at his phone, and he had like a open gym baseball schedule for one of the end zones that night in December. I mean, because the end zone is, again, another, you know, outside the goalposts, another tremendous practice area of these facilities. So, you know, you think about the baseball in the spring, the soccer in the spring, the softball in the spring, track, physical education classes, the band, football, JFL, community events. You know, all my athletic director years, I always looked at that football field and I thought, there is 2 acres out there that only 60 kids use 10 times a year.
Right.
And I go in the gym and the physical education's in there every day. Multiple sports are in there every day. The community uses it every day. We use it for phys ed every day. I felt, always felt like a football field should be the same. It should be our outdoor gymnasium where we have so much activity outside that we have inside. So that's really our goal. We're trying to get as many people out there in student use as possible.
You know, sometimes it's lucky. It's better to be lucky than good. And the way the spring has worked out, it just makes your proposal look even better because you wouldn't have had all these scheduling issues and all these cancellations if this was in place.
I was talking to Mr. Drew, our principal, yesterday, and he said, boy, you guys couldn't have picked a better spring to try to do. Come across and said, well, maybe we're just getting lucky here that people might notice how valuable this could be. But, you know, again, money's tight for everybody, Kim. And, you know, it's a big decision for corporations and that to, say, send $25,000 your way. So it's a tough deal, and we hope that they feel there's as much value in this project as we do.
Sounds good. And again, the website and the social media sites where they can find out more?
It's All Cabbies on Turf.
All Cabbies on Turf. Excellent. Don Borgini, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time today. Really appreciate it. Always a pleasure to talk with you, sir. And good luck the rest of this baseball season.
Okay, thank you. And say hey to my old buddy Terry Tote, would you?
Will do. Will do.
Okay.
The great Don Borgini joining us here on Sports Saturday. And, David, that's one of the greats. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has been involved in coaching at multiple schools around the area, really his entire adult life. And he does such a great job, whether it's the football or the baseball. I mean, this guy, he was a phenomenal athlete back in his day, and he is one heck of a coach.
Some guys can just coach. And he's one of them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Born to coach.
Yep. A great conversation, too. And it's just nice to just sit back and listen.
Yeah, and the turf, you know, I remember we saw that in the paper a while ago, and when you hear Don Borgini lay it out, it's like, boy, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, it totally does. I mean, if you got all that land that's only being used, what, a couple times a year?
What did he say, by 60 kids, 10 weeks a year on average, a few more weeks the last few years with the football runs they've had. But, yeah, 60 kids.
Do they not play
it? The ball.
Use it for soccer?
No, they go at Loveless Park.
Oh, okay, I got you. I wonder if they'll start playing it.
They definitely will play soccer there if they get that turf put in. Like you said, you know, you can have the PE classes out there. Mm-hmm. They could be having their baseball and softball practices out there in the wet spring. And that's exactly right. This spring right now really drives home the point. You know what? That would be a really good investment for the community. To have that turf in place.
It would be. I wonder if you'll start to see that more with smaller schools around here, if provided you're not going to use it for a specialty program, like if you're not going to make it like a football in the field or something.
Well, that's
like that.
Just it, because they get, you know, people hear turf for the football field. They
right.
Football, there's nine games. Yeah. But no, it's turf for the whole school,
right.
For the whole district, for the community. Right. So we'll see what happens, but All Cabbies on Turf, and, of course, all the social media sites, you can find more information there. But thanks to Don Borgini. Fantastic conversation. Great to catch up with him here on this Saturday morning. We need a break. We're back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Cardinal baseball coming up at 12:20 this afternoon on AM 1540 and FM 106.9 as the Redbirds are off to a 3-4 start. They've been in all the ball games, and you have to remember they lost 3 of 4 in Milwaukee, but Milwaukee's beaten everybody else. They took a 2-game series from the Reds. They swept. Who did they sweep? They swept somebody. Maybe they swept the 3-game series from the Reds. That's what they did.
Yeah, I don't know.
They've only lost
they're
one game.
7-1?
Yeah, they're 7-1. They've only lost one game. The game to the Cardinals beat the Cubs last night, but they're off to just a ridiculously
7-1.
Start.
They beat the Cardinals 3 times. They beat the Cubs once.
They swept the Reds. It was a 3-game series.
3-game series. Okay.
3-game series. Yeah. So they're off to a 7-1 start. Cardinals 3-4. They've been in every ball game, but the
could
offense
lost just about all those ball games too.
That's the
so
way it
three
goes.
3-4
sometimes.
Might be optimistic.
Well, they got a couple of big hits late in Pittsburgh that got them those 2 wins, and then last night they burned a tie ball game, and then Anthony Reyes came out of the bullpen walking people, which that's always
Alex
a recipe. What did I say?
Anthony.
Alex Reyes.
In a decade.
No, he has not pitched for a decade. Alex Reyes walking people out of the bullpen, and you can get away with that as a starter for the most part from time to time, but not out of the bullpen. You have to throw strikes out of the pen, and he didn't do it yesterday. Walked the first two, and, of course, both came around to score. But, David, it was opening day for the Cardinals.
Was it?
It was. I don't know if you heard that. All the pomp and circumstance, all sorts of pageantry, the Clydesdales, the Hall of Famers, the World Series trophies, the trucks, the players. It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful ceremony,
they have a pretty good ceremony
that they put on. But I think we were talking off the air, and we both kind of had the same annoyance that you don't need to tell me how great it is. I know it's great. I know it's great.
Right.
I don't need to be told that it's great. And I just feel like sometimes you do a disservice to your product and your brand when you go over the top patting yourself on the back.
Right. And it's kind of been that way for the best fans in baseball moniker, too, because the Cardinals fans have been known as the best fans in baseball for a long time. But over the last, like, 5 or 6 years, it's really been said a lot from inside St. Louis. And it's like, well, no, that's something people from outside need to be telling you. You know, let the product speak for itself. You don't need to tell people how good you are. Let it show for itself.
Yeah, people know.
Right.
Like when you hear Paul Goldschmidt talk about from the outside, he knew coming to St. Louis, right, it's going to be a packed house. It's a great place to play. He knows that. Players know that. They don't need to be told that. And it just, I felt like you're getting, like, clubbed over the head with it.
And I don't know if this is what did it, because they were doing this before then anyway, but it seems to me that when Hayward spurned the Cardinals, it really got taken up a notch.
Which they should be thankful he spurned the Cardinals.
They should be. But once that happened, I mean, and it might even go back to Albert. Go back to Albert leaving is when this sense of insecurity really set in that, hey, we need to talk about ourselves a lot because people don't want to be here.
Well, that could be because, I mean, think about it, no matter what it is in life, like generally the person who is quick to tell you how smart they are, they're insecure about how smart they actually are. Like, super smart, like Bill Gates doesn't go around telling you how smart he is. Everybody knows he's smart. He doesn't need to tell you that he's smart. You just know that he is smart.
There's an attractive quality in being humble.
Yes, humble. Like, you don't have to tell me that the Cardinals have a great opening day. You don't have to tell me that they have the best opening day in baseball.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
If somebody else is telling me that, then it feels a lot better, and I get a lot more out of it. Like if, you know, I don't know, Michael Kay from New York is telling me, hey, the St. Louis opening day is fantastic. Oh, I'm going to listen to him. Mike Lupica from New York. Oh, it's fantastic. I'll listen to him. If somebody from St. Louis is telling me that, your opinion does not matter.
Not on that, because we all know it's true.
Right.
I don't need to be told that.
Right.
I know it's true.
Yeah.
It's the best opening day. Yes.
Right.
Let the opening day speak for itself.
Yeah.
Like when the Clydesdales come out, it's goosebumps. And Here Come the King is playing on the organ. Beautiful. It's excellent. I don't need to be told how great it is.
No,
it's obviously great.
We are on the same page here because it makes me cringe every year. And I told you this off the air as well. Had Goldschmidt not been locked up to an extension before that moment, it would have been 10 times worse because they would have been pitching to Goldschmidt to try and attract him to re-sign in St. Louis. So it would have been kind of like an elbow nudge. Were you paying attention? Did you see how good our ceremony was? Stop it. Let it speak for itself.
And boy, did he have an uncomfortable curtain
Ooh,
call
yeah, that was bad.
Yesterday. He hit the home run to make it 5-3 in the eighth. And the curtain call, they wanted it. And they over-curtain call.
Yeah.
In St. Louis. That's another thing.
I understood yesterday.
Oh, I did too. Yeah. But you could tell. He didn't want to go out there. I'm not right. going out. We're losing. What do you mean a curtain call? So he got like up on one step, gave the tip, and he was back in.
Well, and that goes to had he not been ambushed with all the, are you looking forward to opening day? You know, we have the best in baseball, best opening ceremony in baseball. Had he not been ambushed with all that stuff, he might have been a little bit more comfortable walking up there.
I don't think so. I get the sense that that's the type of guy.
Well, he's a no-nonsense guy.
He's a no-nonsense guy. He's a team-first guy. And had they been, if that would have put them ahead or tied the game, he would have been up on the top step soaking it all in. But you're down two.
Matt Holliday never liked giving curtain calls either. At least it seemed like it, because he would barely step out there. Some guys, they don't. I don't think
Albert likes it.
Yeah, I don't think Albert really ever liked it either.
No.
He did it because you had to.
Yeah, he did it a lot.
Yes. And Goldschmidt probably will as well. But also, stop giving Greg Garcia a standing ovation.
Oh, I don't got a problem. You got a problem with that?
With every single former Cardinal, I liked Greg Garcia. You don't need everybody getting a stand. Shane Robinson doesn't need a standing ovation in St. Louis.
Well, not Shane Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, not
Greg
everybody.
Greg Garcia was a quality ball player.
He absolutely was. Was not a fan favorite. Did not really win you a World Series or anything, or participate on a World Series winning team. I mean, I'm sorry. Not every single former Cardinal that returns doesn't need a standing ovation. Adams got a standing ovation a few years ago.
I want every minor leaguer to get a standing ovation.
Well,
I want former beer vendors to get standing ovation.
That's partly why, now, Tatis is not a minor leaguer, but partly why Tatis Jr. got a really good round of applause yesterday, because his dad played in St. Louis.
Well, and because his dad hit two grand slams in one inning off the same pitcher.
Right.
Which, that's a record that will never be broken. Like, records are made to be broken. Not that one.
Nope.
Nobody is going to hit two grand slams off the same pitcher in one inning.
There's no way Nomo should have been in the game.
Chanhill Park.
Was it Park? I'm sorry.
Chanhill Park. But, yeah, how he gives up the second one is
baffling. Why are you still in
there?
Well, surely this isn't going to happen again.
Well, that was a different era. That would never happen now, because a pitcher would never be allowed to stay in and take that type of beating. In one inning.
You got to send this mess. You wear it.
And he wore it right into the record books.
What was the final score of that game, anyway?
Oh, boy, I don't know. A lot to probably not very much.
Yeah.
But back to the Cardinals for this year, as I said, 3-4, and it's definitely been an uneven start. You don't want to play yourself. I've always said, you can't win the pennant in the first couple weeks, but you can lose it.
You can.
And they've done a good job to stay right around that 500 mark, and they've always shown the ability to lose the first game of a series, bounce back, and win the series. So today becomes an important game from that standpoint, as you want to go into tomorrow with a chance to win 2 out of 3 from the San Diego Padres. But a couple concerning things to me early, David, are the starting rotation is shaky.
Yeah.
Not going deep. And the offense is striking out way too much.
Their offense has not been very good. Now, they've scored a lot of runs because they've hit a lot of home runs, but the offense has not been good.
Way too many strikeouts.
Yeah, way too many strikeouts, not enough doubles. I love doubles. Doubles are the best part of hitting,
doubles
in my opinion,
because
it keeps the rally moving and it keeps guys on base. You could hit, thousands of doubles in a season and not homer at all. I'd be fine. Because you'd be scoring runs.
Yeah, doubles are good.
Right.
And I'm not worried about the offense, because when you look at the guys in the lineup, I mean, Yadi's like 2 for 31. That's not going to continue. Yeah. Carpenter, over the last few years, has been a slow starter.
But he's done better this year. I mean, his average is low, but he's done better starting out this year than he did last year.
The biggest issue to me for the Cardinals offense right now is Marcell Ozuna.
Absolutely.
I mean, he is just a gaping hole. Right in that cleanup
spot. And defensively,
spot.
Too.
Yeah, he's not good.
You could single-handedly blame him for that last loss in Milwaukee. It wasn't all his fault, but he has to catch that.
If you're single-handedly blaming him, you're saying it is all his fault.
No, I'm saying, in the big picture, it wasn't all his fault. But you could say that it was his fault they lost that game, because that Andrew Miller should have been out of a jam that kept the ball game 4-1 in the, what was it, eighth inning? Or might have been seventh inning at the time, when I don't remember who it was that hit it, but there was a lazy pop fly. I think it was Travis Shaw to shallow left field. Ozuna's got to be there. You got to make that catch. That ball hung up for a long time, and he wasn't even in the picture.
Just how long will they go where O'Neill isn't getting consistent starts?
I don't know.
That's the question. And unlike in previous years, where the dude in charge had no idea what he was doing, and Shildt, I trust. Shildt is going to put players in positions to win. And you don't make overreactions
right in
the first couple weeks of the season. And they won't make overreactions. But if this trend continues into the month of May, Tyler O'Neill will be getting more starts.
And of all the guys, it looks like Albert has had an influence, or Jeff Albert has had an influence on him the most. His swing is shorter. Yeah. Tyler O'Neill, his approach is different.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's hitting the ball hard.
Yes, he is.
Hey, thanks to Don Borgini for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. Cardinal Baseball, 1220 this afternoon, AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Montgomery County Baseball Tournament next Saturday. All the action live on the Tally Broadcasting Stations and WSMIRadio.com. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. For David, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done.